This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
So, let's talk some DC Comics and have some fun.
Well, let's not have fun. Let's just talk DC Comics.
Oh, all right. I mean, I have fun. You don't have fun?
No, I had fun.
Okay.
I think I told you. You didn't guess what it was. One of possibly my favorite pages in a DC book in years came out last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I figure we'll start with that book, I guess.
Go for it. I don't even know what it is, but
it would be, yeah, the third issue of Man of Steel.
Okay. All right.
The page, I don't remember what page number it was. It was early on in the book when generic villain destroyed the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay.
And Superman hears like the alarm thing. And there's the one page where it's like him, like as a bullet basically flying. And then it's the distant shot of him looking at the fortress on fire. And then there's the page, you know, then the panel, I mean, with, you know, you kind of see him outside looking through the hole in the wall.
Then
it's like a close up of his eyes, like all sad, seeing all the destruction and everything that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Four panels, no words. Art was fantastic. Best page in ages. Like, you could feel how
the emotion
rushed he was. Yeah. From that.
Yeah.
Spectacular. I don't even remember who the artist was on this book.
On Man of Steel?
Yeah, who's doing that?
Sinclair? Or McGuire?
I don't remember.
Well, I know this week's was Bendis, McGuire, and Sinclair. So I thought that's who's been doing it the whole time.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, I know Jason Fabok is doing like a couple pages, but that was not one of his pages. It looks like Ryan Sook did the art for this issue.
Okay.
Except for page 16, whichever one that is.
Okay. Well, I know that Bendis, Sinclair, and McGuire do this week's.
That's four?
Yeah, four.
Okay. So, you read issue four?
Yeah, I read it. Do you want to go too far into it since it came out and we're coming out?
Well,
I mean, we could talk about it as long as we don't like main spoiler it, I think. Yeah.
I was just going to say at this point, I honestly don't remember what happened in three and four because they kind of flow right into each other.
Okay. Yeah.
But let me just quick flip through.
Quick flip. Well, while you're doing that.
Okay, yeah, no, so it was issue four is the one where you find out what the thing that shows up at their apartment is, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad, what is... Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to say what it is, or do we not spoil it?
Yeah, I mean, let's not say what it is, but...
Okay, well, the answer to that part, I guess, is finally given.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was the first little bit of a letdown since generic villain is doing his thing.
And I thought you would see it that way.
Just cause I did not like that storyline.
Yeah. From Action. Right.
Yeah. So the putting him into this, like for that to be the one holdover that Bendis keeps is like the one thing that I would not have wanted, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of alludes to the bigger question, right? Of what happened to Lois and Clark?
Yeah.
To me, it does anyways.
Well, I mean, it sort of answers it, right? In a way? Like, how do we say this without spoiling everything?
Okay. If he goes with this mystery person.
Right. I assume she went as well.
Oh. Right. Oh. Okay. That I wasn't thinking that. I was assuming that she would get ballistic mad at Clark for allowing it.
See, the way I was reading it was if he's going, she's going with him because Clark has to stay behind.
Okay. Okay. All right. That makes more sense. Now, as a whole, like the four issues, are you enjoying it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Because I think your panels from issue 3, right?
Right.
Are my panels with a little bit of words in the last page.
Where Superman and generic villain are talking about if they have kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then something crazy happens there?
Yeah.
At the end? Yeah. But, like, you see generic villains. What is it? Is it? Yeah, I don't even remember his name. But Doomsday Light, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see his, and then you see Clark's, like, each panel, Clark's expression changes.
Right.
And there's very little word bubbles in that 9 grid, I think, page there, before the big splash page.
Was it a 9? I thought it was only 4 or 5. I thought it was, like, stacked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be. But, like...
Six panels.
Okay, 6 panels and then the huge one at the bottom, right?
Well, the...
Or are you counting the huge one at the end?
Well, the end is the last page.
Okay, yeah, so it's a... Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is, like, you can sense Clark's calmness and then it turns into, like, rage kind of thing.
I think... Yeah, it goes from, like, anger to sadness to despair to sadness to realization to rage.
Yeah, yeah.
See, overall, I don't know what it is. I thought that the art in the 4th issue was probably the weakest of the 4 as a whole.
Yeah, I can see that.
But
when you say weak, it's still not, like, terrible, but...
No, it's not bad, but I don't know what it is. Like, everyone just looks slightly off, and that's the only way I can really describe it to me.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, no, in that last page, definitely you can see his facial expressions, you know, definitely convey everything. And what is the bad guy's name? Rogel Czar?
Czar, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his expression doesn't change much, I guess, but...
No, not really. Because, you know... Doomsday Light kind of thing.
Generic fang face.
Yeah. El Generico.
Skin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but overall, I'm very pleased how much I'm enjoying this Superman stuff. You know, and I thought even everything with Supergirl didn't feel off.
Oh, man, that was amazing, too.
Which part?
Well, I can't really spoil it, but, like, her... Just her, the fight in general.
Right.
But yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that could have been better is if she got a Red Lantern ring.
Yeah, so it's cool to hear you say that you're enjoying it, actually.
Why's that? Because I hate everything, according to people?
Well, I mean, not people. I mean, you do, but... no, I just it feels like 80s style Superman.
Yeah. We talked about that after we read the first one.
Yeah,
that it felt like the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah,
and it still definitely does. But I mean, those movies were more lighthearted. You know, I mean, like you can tell. Where Superman is, you know, going into buildings and saving the kid, and the kid swears and he's like, language, like that all feels very much like it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't remember there being a, like, as emotional a moment in those movies as, you know, the Fortress of Solitude being destroyed and his reaction, or, you know, like a lot of the reveal stuff from the 4th issue.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like it yeah. seems like it would be those movies, but like the Zack Snyder version of those movies.
All right. I was going to do something here. I can pull it up. I want to read you the first couple. I'm not going to read the whole first couple pages, but like you guys always say that I read so many comic books or so fast or whatever.
Okay.
So I was going to give you a little taste of how I read Man of Steel and what it sounds like in my head when I read it. And you're going to like this.
Blah, 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 generic villain, blah, blah, Superman.
No. Let's see. I'm going to pull up the page because as soon as he says it. Okay, so it opens up when.
Is this the first issue?
No, this is issue 4. The one that came out today, or this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. He's talking about Kara, right? So then you skip all the way down to where he says, let's see, I had it pulled up and then it just went away. Oh, crap. Good thing I'm editing this, right?
This is making for some riveting listening.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay. So this is the paragraph. It says, my cousin Kara is nothing but blind rage, right? Because she's just going after.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one says, but she's right. But suddenly I remember something Cyborg once said. Booyah! But that didn't really say that. So that's how I read it in like my head. It was like, suddenly I remember something that Cyborg said. And what does Cyborg always say?
I don't know, because I avoid everything with Cyborg in it.
But yeah, that's... I don't understand how you guys say that I read so many books all. Like, yes, I read a lot of books, but...
Listen, the reason why everyone says that is because every day on Twitter, we all wake up in the morning and then get into our feeds.
And feel like P. Diddy?
And we see like 95 tweets from you. Really enjoyed this one, Late Night Comic Reads. Oh, I'm really enjoying this book too, Late Night Comic Reads. And it's like 17 or 50 or 60 books every single day.
Every single night. You just see it in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
But and that's why we say it.
But that doesn't mean I'm reading them in like 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how much time you have in your day that's possible to read as many comic books. If you actually have a job like you say you do,
mm-hmm.
have a family like you say you do,
mm-hmm.
and do stuff with your family like you say you do.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to sleep sometime.
And exactly, and you don't sleep, apparently.
Right, yeah. Some nights I don't. So, what better way to do it than to read comic books?
Yeah.
Speaking of...
Uh-oh.
Let's go to a different book.
Okay.
What about Sideways?
Okay. I read Sideways.
This one introduced us to a brand new villain.
Yes. Catwoman. Oh, no, that's just the advertisement on the first page.
The Showman.
Yes.
And he's all douche-dicked out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if he would have showed up in, say, JLA or mm-hmm. Batman... Or Superman, even. He wouldn't have been as cool. Like, he fits this book.
Yes.
So, introducing a new villain is hard, I would assume, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Brian Michael Bendis can't even pull it off. But
sure he can.
Well, I mean, he's doing it, but...
Totally original.
But, like, this guy, like, not only does he look like it, but... I don't know. I'm really digging... Like, this is the villain that should be who Sideways goes up against, type thing. As we establish, like, his rogue villain, right?
Right.
Because, like, when we first saw the huge guardian guy, or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Have we figured out what his name is? Did they ever say it?
Are we just bad with names, or what?
No, I don't think they ever said what his name was. Because he first showed up, he tried to kill him because he was ruining the fabric of time and space.
Yeah.
And now he showed up again. He's like, oh, maybe we need your help.
Maybe I was wrong. Yeah.
But I don't think they ever introduced him.
No. Not that I remember, but, I mean... See, I like him better here than I did when the first time. Showed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then I was just like, eh, he's like a mix between this person and this person.
That's... Yeah.
But then, like, having...
I like that he's gigantic and sitting in the kid's bedroom.
Yeah.
Just, like, all, like, folded up, like,
yeah, hey. It reminded me of, like, a scene from, like, Iron Giant or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm still really, like, digging this. Like, I could feel like this isn't really complex and heavy like most of the stuff we read.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and I hate using this term, but like a palate cleanser type thing, you know? I know it's going to be fun and enjoyable each time so far.
Yeah, but, you know, to what you were saying about the showman,
mm-hmm.
it definitely, I completely agree that he seems like someone that should be there. That for a kid in high school who's trying to figure out powers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect him to be going up against, you know, like Red Lanterns.
Right, right.
You know, like if Sinestro showed up in this book, you'd just be like, all right, really? Like, that's the end of Sideways.
Yeah.
But a guy who, I mean, he looks like he's not much older. Teens, 20s, maybe, I guess.
Who?
You know,
and Derek?
The showman. No,
or
no,
the showman. Oh.
Yeah, like he looks like he's probably out of high school, right? But not much.
Yeah, I would say. If he is, he'd be like one of those older rebel kids, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like the guy from 3 o'clock High.
Yeah, yeah. he'd be AC Slater.
But you know, of course, his power. You know, when he talks and he can convince people to get angrier, and that's how he gets his strength.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's going to go to a high school.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So
because I mean, now, so is that all he can do?
I mean, that we've figured out so far, right?
Right. Because, I mean, he's not like a psiot, right? Like, where he can, like, or a telepath, or I don't know what I'm trying to say. Well, like, where he can, because, like, instead of the showman, then he'd be like the con man, right? Because he can't make people do what he wants them to do.
I don't think he can make them do what he wants them to do, but he can convince, I mean, he can hint at things,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess suggest things
yeah.
that would get them angrier and then use that to strengthen himself.
Yeah. So like last episode, he's exclusive then because he's just making suggestions.
I guess.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's been happening. You make me record at 4 o'clock in the morning and I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I can't sleep. You can't either. Yeah. I'm really digging it. It's still up there in the New Age of Heroes for me.
Yeah. Yeah, as the other books have been going on, this one's been climbing up for me, I'd say.
Okay. I'm glad Gary left a note there for you so you can read issue one.
No, this was the one I was always going to read. Wasn't he supposed to tell me about Silencer?
Oh, yeah. No. I'm pretty sure it was Sideways. You just didn't read it like that week that it came out.
Oh, okay, that could have been it.
Yeah. Silencer, you vowed that you'd never read because of JRJR, but then you broke down and read it, and it's awesome.
I never read it. I didn't read it. I was lying. Oh. I made up a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and coincidentally, it all happened to be what happened in the book.
Yeah. Well, that's one of our Twitter questions that we'll get to later, so that's awesome.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, any other books you want to talk about?
Yeah, we had another new one.
Which new one?
Well, I guess we had two new ones, but the one I'm thinking of is Plastic Man.
Yes. Plastic Man number one.
Yes. Number one of 1,000,000.
Because it's all new, all different.
Yes.
What do you think?
I liked it.
Oh, my God.
What?
Three in a row.
I hated it.
No.
It's terrible.
No. You're in a good mood because one of our Twitter questions that we're going to get to later is by Chris and Martin. So when you podcast with them, you know, you're happy. So
that could be it.
I really enjoyed it. Like really enjoyed it.
Well, this is the thing. I love the old days when comic book covers would actually have word bubbles and like stuff happening on them.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately from looking at the front page, from looking at the cover of this book, when you got Plastic Man on the top and you got the dead guy in the bottom and there's the girl that's like, you know, this isn't my idea of a good time or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, perfect. Yep. It's got word bubbles. So I was sold. But no, I really very much enjoyed the story. I like how he is posing as the mobster.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
they break his legs.
Yeah, I love how as that happened, he's like, I had to try not to laugh out loud as they're hitting me with the bats or whatever.
Yeah.
But that scene after he got beaten and he's laying there and the kid or whoever it was came up to him. He's like, got you good. That's not fair. 3-on-1. He's like, yeah, I'll be fine. He's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, it's okay.
So this.
Yeah.
An Injustice.
Yeah.
Plastic Man are the Plastic Man versions that I really like. Like this Plastic Man takes me back to like the 70s and 80s zany, crazy Plastic Man, right? Cheesy. See,
but at the same time, it's not too totally
right.
Zany.
It's not over the top type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ludicrous because it's him.
Right.
But it's not like slapstick and ridiculous like Harley Quinn.
Right. Right. And it found that thin line, I think.
The thin line of saying, that's so Wang.
Well, I mean, come on. But you see, like, as to where Plastic Man and Metal, and then what's the other book he's in? Terrifics?
Terrifics.
I didn't enjoy him in Metal. Well, I guess he really was just an egg then, but...
Yeah. But him in the Terrifics, it's like a much darker version.
Yeah. And so here, like, because you have, like, within Elongated Man, with Ralph, right?
Uh-huh.
They both basically have the same powers. But the difference between the two is, you know, you have Plastic Man, who's, like, crazy and zany all the time, and you have, like, Ralph, who's serious to semi-serious all the time.
Right.
And I like the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this, and it lived up to my expectations, really.
Yeah, I really had no expectation for it. I mean, I know I like Gail Simone as a writer, mm-hmm. but Plastic Man, it's really, he's one of those guys that either it's really good or it's really bad. And there's like, there's not a lot of middle ground, I guess, with him.
So what's the really bad?
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'm sure, like, the Metal stuff I stopped reading. But, you know, like, sometimes when it goes, like, way over the top, I check out.
Yeah.
But this, it was, like, the perfect mixture of everything I like about the character.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the whole story, as it starts getting fleshed out, that he has to infiltrate, you know, because all of the superhero teams are compromised by spies.
Yes.
And, you know, his mobster buddy calls him up and he's like, oh, okay, I'll go. He sounds freaked out and he goes and shows up. And of course he's dead. And then there's the army or with the police or whoever. And there's the lady like, oh yeah, I saw him. He's the guy that killed my neighbor.
Right.
I'm just like, okay, I can see that this is going to be just more ridiculous, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. So this is a 6-issue?
Yeah.
I think, is that what it is? Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
To go back to Man of Steel real quick, because when you brought up seeing everybody,
mm-hmm.
Hal Jordan
yeah.
looked like Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern to me in that book.
In issue 4?
Yeah.
Not so much in issue 3?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was just making sure that I wasn't the only one that saw that.
There was another new book.
Last week,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the two of us were sort of excited about.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. So much so that we reached out to the writer.
Yeah. So what did you think of the very first issue of Hawkman?
Dude. Okay. Now, I want to go back probably like 6 months ago, maybe.
Uh-oh.
No, like,
nothing about 6 months ago.
Well, I remember listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads, and okay. It was, like the start of the death of Hawkman, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I read it, and then he talked about it, and I was like, man, you know, if Hawkman is this awesome all the time, like, I need to go back and dive into that stuff.
Yep.
And I read Hawk World. I think that's what it was called, right?
Yeah.
And then I didn't ever go back. So reading this issue, it like all went tenfold, right?
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, the art in this book is fantastic.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I like, oh my God, I'm just blanking on his name, Brian Hitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like his stuff a lot. I like him as a writer, and I like him as an artist, but I think when he draws his own books, they both sort of lack something.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I don't know what it is, but I think if he concentrates on one or the other, it's way better. But, man, that guy, that dude can art.
There we go, episode title.
Yeah.
But I think if Rob Venditti just pulled names out of a phone book, he can make an awesome story out of the names that he just plucked out.
Of just like random
just
people?
Just random, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, do they still make phone books? I don't know, but... But yeah, know. Like, yeah. And I think he did this with Exo for Valiant, right? Like, mm-hmm. where he took a character that was semi-fluttering and added layers and layers and layers to him.
Well,
I mean, he started out with Exo, you know, right out the gate at Valiant this yeah. time. So, right. I mean, but, like, before... In the 90s, you know, Exo lost its way to, like,
yeah.
where, what the point was, right? So I think Rob can really deep dive and add layers to characters who have been, or haven't had those layers in the past, right? Like, with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern book from now, even, or back to New 52 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you're a huge Green Lantern fan.
Yes.
And... I'm a fan, but not like a huge fan. But I'm just saying, like, when he wrote them so individualized and different.
Yes.
That he added the layers that was already established before. So picking Hawkman that needs those layers, because I think he's a two-dimensional character right now.
Okay.
Like a throwaway character, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, he really hasn't been used in a serious, well, not in a serious, in like a main way in ages. Mm-hmm. And it seems like anytime they try, whoever's been writing it just doesn't know what to do with him.
Yeah. Or it's the same story retold in
right.
a different way.
Right. And right. I mean, this one starts off sort of Indiana Jones-ish because mm-hmm. he's getting the... whatever that thing is.
The eye of whatever.
Yeah, and honestly, I think my absolute favorite part of this book is when he's getting chased by the golem.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you know, return it, you know, or I'm going to, you know, you'll be
yeah, you're a thief.
Perished or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's yelling and Hawkman's like, they're underwater and then they're running here. And Hawkman's like, oh, well, it was nice, but... Now I'm gonna go, and it's a shame only one of us has wings. And the gorilla sprouts wings and starts flying after him.
Yeah, yeah. and see, and that's awesome too. That it started out Indiana Jones. I can't think of the word
style.
Well, yeah, style. But like that's what he's into. Like his character is into the old artifacts and whatever.
Right. The Nautilus. Nautilus of Revealment.
Yeah, there you go. You busted out the thesaurus this time, huh?
No, I just opened up the comic and read the word.
No, but like, yeah, because I think when I think of Carter Hall,
mm-hmm.
that's what I think of is like the superhero version of Indiana Jones, right? Not Hawkman, but Carter Hall.
Right.
And this, in the first time in a long time, actually brought that out for me. Like there was an adventure there
mm-hmm.
without him even being dressed as Hawkman.
Right. Yeah, like even all this stuff with the Nautilus thing when he's sitting in his kitchen at the table
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you see all the different versions of himself.
Oh, with what's her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And there's so there's the Rocketeer, Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
There's it looks like a Iron Man, Hawkman.
The heck is her name? Oh, Xanadu, right?
Xanadu, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Kryptonian Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be awesome. That's probably my favorite incarnation.
So if that's the case, is generic villain from Man of Steel gonna go after Hawkman?
Possible. It could possibly lead that way. Then, you know, generic villain would have layers on him then, because Rob would write him better.
Yeah.
But we might, like, if we get flashbacks more from generic villain,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when we would see him, is if we see the flashbacks, and he would be, like, the head Kryptonian security guard or army, the head lead to that, like, with Zod. Right,
because right.
Isn't that what Zod was? That was Zod's mantle, right?
Yeah.
He was like Security of Defense or whatever, or Secretary of Defense.
Well, I mean, whatever their title was.
Yeah, right. and then, what is it, Carter L? Or Carter mm-hmm. Oil? Like, he would be the main general of the army, I would think.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, it's whatever. I'm in on this book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in as soon as I said Hawkman, and then as soon as it was announced that it was Venditti,
yeah.
Again, I was like, well, I mean, you don't really need to convince me to read this, but you're doing a pretty damn good job of making sure I don't forget about it.
Yeah. And then the little cherry on top was Brian Hitch on the art.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, twisted arm. I guess I'm going to have to read it now.
Yeah, and I really hope that Hitch sticks with it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of times with comics now, I guess, well, this one's not coming out bi-weekly or anything.
Right.
You know, I know that they like rotate art teams on a lot of books, but I hope for the majority of this, whatever this is, he sticks around, or at least someone similar enough.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And hopefully we reached out to RVD.
Yes.
And he said that he would love to come on the show.
Yes.
And so we're just trying to clear it through DCPR.
Yes.
Which they'll probably sue us for our logo.
They don't have to know about the logo.
No, I don't care.
Honestly, I stopped caring years ago.
I know, me too. 100 episodes ago, we didn't care. We still don't care.
Nah.
Yeah. So there'd be a lot of cool things to talk to him about.
Yes.
About this.
And also, I will place a bet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkman will end at issue 50.
Let's just hope it goes to issue 50. Because let's hope that everybody else likes it as much as we did.
Yeah, true. Let's hope that if it doesn't make it that far, it at least goes far enough to give me a very nice hardcover to put on my bookshelf.
There you go. I'm down with that.
Yeah. So you said there were Twitter questions?
Yeah, but actually I wanted to talk about one more thing before we go into the Twitter questions.
Uh-oh.
Injustice this week.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I tweeted it out there. Lobo, as a character...
sucks.
Meh. You know, in the regular... Because, okay, let me clarify that, because Lobo in the main DC universe as a character... Right. Is not that exciting for me. Maybe okay. Somebody needs to reinvent him or add layers to him like Venditti is doing with Hawkman, right?
Yeah, but there are no layers.
Lobo in Injustice has been good, but then in this issue, when he gets a Green Lantern ring,
yeah,
it's fucking great.
Yes. And you knew it was only a matter of time before he started throwing... Dick yes. Constructs at people.
Yes, because he literally dick smacked your boy.
Yeah.
And you hated it, but you thought it was awesome all the same.
Well, no, I hated when he kicked my cat.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mind so much when he threw the dick at Atrocitus.
Yeah, that was awesome. But, I mean, it wasn't... Okay, we were just talking about how we hate slapstickity comedy, but this was more like, it was different. It's the different, like, throwing a giant green dick at somebody in rage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Sinestro saving Hal.
Yeah, see, the two of them, as much as they fight, you always kind of assume that the two of them somehow down the line, even though they both, I don't know, killed each other a number of times,
are going to end up getting married.
That they're going to end up getting married and just living on Mogo.
Yeah.
And walking on the beaches.
So would it be Hal Jordan and, or would it be Green Lantern and Sinestro getting married, or would it be Hal Jordan and Sinestro getting married? All right. We do have some Twitter questions.
Yeah. Shoot.
Let me go. First, we'll ask Chris's.
Okay.
Chris Campbell, our buddy, said, if we were in Supermarket Sweep, but set at Mile High Comics,
okay,
what aisles would you hit first, and why?
Oh, man. Geez, that's a tough one. Let's see. There would be three aisles I would definitely hit.
Okay.
One of the first ones I would hit would be down by the X's, so I could load up on X-Men and X-Factor and X-Force and all that stuff from back in the day.
Claremont style or 90s style?
Oh, yeah. No. Like 80s. I mean, even going into the 90s a bit.
Okay.
But like even going back farther, you know, like the 60s, 70s stuff.
Okay.
That would be one aisle I'd hit up.
Okay.
I would definitely be over in the B's to fill up on Batman.
Okay.
And it would be tough because I don't know if I'd have enough time to hit four aisles and load everything into my shopping cart. But I would make a push and I would definitely hit up the Teen Titans or New Mutants section after I would do the Batman and the old X-Men.
Okay. So Batman or so which would be first though? The X section?
Well,
like
do you start at the beginning of the store or do you start at the end of the store?
What does it matter? You start right in the middle.
Yeah,
you start right in the middle. Probably, the host goes, go.
If that's the case, I would probably start off in the ends because you could hit New Mutants, Teen Titans, and then X-Men, and then quick run back and just dump out the bins of Batman into your cart.
And then totally not go to X's at all.
No, I said the X-Men after NCTs.
So then you're running back. So you're hitting New Mutants type stuff, and then you're going to X's, and then if you have time, you're hitting Batman.
I would make time, but I'm just saying to maximize everything,
okay. Yeah,
you got to hit what's on the way to the target.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would hit that stuff first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What about you? You would go. Okay, I know this. You would go Shazam.
Okay.
Then you would go Teen Titans. Then you would go Batwoman.
Oh my god.
And then no, you would probably also hit like weirdly obscure. You'd be like, I have to go find the Scout comic section.
No, I would say that I would, like, if I'm lined up in the middle,
mm-hmm.
the host yells go, and I start running with my cart and the wheel falls off, I would head to Tales of Teen Titans, New Teen Titans, old stuff first. That's where I would go first.
Right. Makes sense.
Okay. Then I would make my way back up to the G's for the old G.I. Joe stuff.
Ooh. You know what? I didn't even think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I didn't say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But I'm just saying I could hit that when I was at the Teen Titans.
And then I would probably go, Detective, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Detective-ish or... Depends, because I'm like right there at the G's, so if time's running short, I would go to the S's and go like old Superman Shazam, but if I still had time to make it and still be able to breathe, I would go to Detective, I would think.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's How much time do you have in Supermarket Sweep? Is it 3 minutes?
I think it's less than that. I think it's like two. I don't know. It's been a while since I've...
See, because a comic store is like a third of the size of a supermarket, like Midtown. I mean, it's big, but it's not like supermarket big.
Yeah.
So you can cover more ground.
But I think that's why he said Mile High, because Mile High is like huge, though.
Oh, I was thinking Midtown. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. And then Martin asked a question.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, he asked two. So, well, okay. Well, three or four. But thoughts on Geoff Johns' Killing Zone imprint?
Oh, yeah. They did announce that, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Did they announce any titles?
Not with that. Or not with that one.
I think
his second thing is why would DC do another separate imprint?
At this point, they're just giving imprints to everybody.
You have an imprint because I mean, also because
Bendis has one.
That's what he's. Then that's the follow up question.
Snyder has one.
Is will you be picking up any Jinx World stuff in September? Which they have announced 5 of those.
You know what? I have never read any, like, Jinx World is his own stuff, right? Like, he's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Powers, which I would pick up again because I read some.
I've read none of it, any of it.
Okay. And then you have Scarlet.
Okay.
Which is kind of like Painkiller Jane style-ish.
Okay. Now, is he writing all of these, or is it...
Yeah, he's writing... Or he was writing... Okay, like, here, back to Powers. Powers is Yvonne Oming, right? The artist that did Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye.
Okay.
And... Brian Michael Bendis. And then Scarlet is Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. He's the artist for, they did Daredevil together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never.
And then Brilliant, which is him and Mark Bagley.
Okay.
And then the United States of Murder, Inc., which is him and Oming again.
Hmm.
Which I think, I'm pretty sure it's, this is like a crime fiction type, FBI type story.
Okay.
And then there's one called Takio, which is him and Oming again.
Okay.
And it's like not grown-ups, and it's more like anime style.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I've never read any of it, mm-hmm. but... I mean, based off of Man of Steel,
mm-hmm.
and based off of the fact that I try out all the new DC books,
mm-hmm.
I will definitely check them out.
Okay.
You know, whether or not I stick with all of them, who knows?
So, okay, but, so before Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And the two other, we won't name free ones, or not free ones, but, you know, leading up to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And then Alias.
Yeah.
That's the only Brian Michael Bendis that you've read?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I, you know me, I haven't really been a big Marvel reader in a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I kind of checked out of Marvel stuff before he started there.
Yeah.
And the stuff he writes, like I'm not a huge Daredevil fan.
Yep.
And he wrote...
Ultimate Spider-Man, which is...
Yeah, you know, I don't
Yeah.
And... whatever else he wrote. He wrote like a bunch of Avengers stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like the Avengers either, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, back
I
to...
I never would have gone to, you know, I never would have just randomly picked up a book that he was writing based on the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, oh, everyone says he's a great writer. Let's check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm biased against them, I guess.
So, go back to Martin's original first question.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on Geoff Johns' Killing Zone imprint? And why would DC do separate imprints? Because here's my answer.
Okay.
Because I think that Young Animal didn't succeed like they wanted it to. And with Brian Michael Bendis coming in as a big guy from Marvel, and they're giving him his imprint back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to keep your in-house big-name guys happy and give them their own imprint.
I think that could be part of it, but also, I mean, if you have a Bendis and a Snyder and a Johns and whoever else,
mm-hmm.
it's not just you have to keep them happy because you're giving Bendis a thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of okay, we want you to write these books, because isn't Johns doing the
Shazam
book?
Shazam, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like, I guess because the movie's coming out, they want the comic to kind of revitalize, unlike Marvel and Fantastic Four. But they, you know, I'm sure that it's one of those, hey, we really want you to write these two books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, well, you know, I really want to do this kind of story and this. And they go, you know what? If you do these books for us, you can do whatever you want besides that. And we'll throw it in this little universe so it doesn't, you know, you can do literally anything with these characters. And there it is.
Or is it, hey, we already gave Jeff Lemire an exclusive, and he went here, and he went here, and here, and here. So we're going to give two or three of our big names their own imprints, so that way we can keep our writers under house, and if they don't want to play in our sandbox, they can go play in their own sandbox under these imprints.
Could be. I just think it's weird that Jeff Johns is going to be writing all of the DC Zoom books.
Well, is it really?
How funny would that be? if like, you know, the Jinx World stuff.
Yeah.
He decides to write it all as like young adult. And Jeff Johns is like, oh, I'm going to do these stories, but it's going to be all like general audience type, you know, like DuckTales style stories.
Martin has one more question.
Okay.
I love Plastic Man number one, and I hope you guys enjoyed it too. So that inspired my next question.
Uh-oh.
If you could choose a D-lister to get his own book, who would it be, and what would the creative team be on it?
Oh my goodness, it would be the question, right? It would have to be.
Yeah, that's he tweeted this a while ago, so I had more time to prepare. But yes, the question was my answer.
Who would I want to write the question? Who did Identity Crisis? Was Brad Meltzer, right?
Yep.
Who did the art on that? Do you remember? Is it Morales?
Yeah, sounds right.
I want them to do the question.
Wow. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What's another weird...
I'm going to pick Adam Glass and Brent Peoples.
Oh, interesting.
Because I liked how... Adam did the normals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I think the detective-y style with people's art on it.
Yeah.
I think it would accent each other, which Adam's got it. He's already there because he's doing the Titans thing, the new Titans.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the new... Oh, what was that? That's stupid. What was the team that Baron Winters was on? Was that Night Force?
I think.
They should make a Night Force book. We'll put that in there, too.
All right. Who's got your creative team on that?
Jesus, I don't even know. Put Phil Hester on the art.
Oh, yeah.
Who could write it? I don't know.
No, I'll tell you. I want a Swamp Thing with Phil Hester on art.
Oh, yeah, that would be really good.
Okay. And give me Zach and Lonnie to write it. Thompson and Lonnie Nadler, right?
Yeah.
With Phil Hester on art, boom.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't think these guys are D-list. I think they might be like down towards like G or H. But what about a new Knight and Squire series?
Oh my Jesus. You know what I really want?
A Knight and Squire series?
A Royal Flush Gang miniseries.
Yes.
Where they would just go and, like, each issue, like, give me 6 issues of it, right? And each issue would be them having this great plan. And it's, like, the stupidest thing that you've ever heard, and it always gets foiled at the end. And then the next issue, they have this great grand plan again, and then it's foiled and...
Or you have like 2.5 issues of planning and then an issue and a half of them failing miserably.
Yes. And you give me Justin Jordan on that.
Oh, I could see that.
Because he's doing a great job on Sideways style.
Yeah. See, I could do that.
Or
Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison.
Yeah.
Because Divinity's awesome and I want to do more stuff.
Yeah. And Valiant's dying, so Matt needs somewhere to go. Man, I can keep going. Adam Strange, Rob Benedetta doing it.
Mm.
Brian Hitch on art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chad says, if we got to pick one character to write a 2-hour movie about, who would it be and what would it be about?
It would be, what the heck is his name?
Jason Todd.
Listen, that's an obvious. I've already started writing the script for the Jason Todd movie.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm blanking on his name. Danny the Street.
Oh my God.
And it would literally just be 2 hours of things happening on this street and him going, ow.
You're so terrible. And that movie would be so terrible. Be
like, people would play stickball. I mean, I'd set it back in, you know, like the 1940s.
Okay.
Maybe early 50s. So it would be like, you know, yeah. No, if I had to write a 2-hour movie on any...
I'm going to go Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
And it's going to be like detective style, like where he's John Jones, you know?
Uh-huh.
But there's a murder on the Watchtower or at the Hall of Justice. And everybody else is dealing with a crisis or whatever, so he has to feel like it's not a superhero that gets killed at the Hall of Justice, like a civilian. Like someone on
tour.
Huh?
It's like they're giving a tour of the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, like a tourist out in front or something, and they get murdered right by the Batwoman statue.
Oh my God, Batwoman. Bitch.
Yep.
Can't believe the Batwoman statue killed the person.
Yep. Because it couldn't hold its own weight, so it fell over. That's all of the Twitter questions.
Cool. You got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. I do not either. So thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with me directly on Twitter, you can at Aaron S. Bell.
And I am at Rombar316.
And the show is at DC_Absolute. And thank you again for listening.
That's a podcast.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic.
Ooh. Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.